This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
My name is Brenda Kranick. I am the Director of Marketing and Communications for the Greater Green Bay Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Have you lived in Green Bay most of your life?
I have lived in Green Bay about 10 years. Mm-hmm. So glad to be here. It's one of the best cities that I've ever seen.
And are you a Wisconsinite by birth?
I am. I grew up about 30 minutes south of Green Bay. I did go to school at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Mm-hmm. So that was my first taste of the community.
So you have traveled around the state quite a bit.
I have.
You know the state quite well.
I do. When you're a Wisconsinite, you mm-hmm. definitely take in all the sights and sounds of the communities around. You want to see what people are doing, and every community is different in the state of Wisconsin, mm-hmm. so it's great to really experience all that Wisconsin has to offer.
All that being said and done, you're here by choice.
I love this community, and because I do, it's one of my great passions to promote the area, share what I know with visitors from around the country.
What I find alluring about Green Bay is, one, the people. Two, along the downtown area, it's just fascinating to watch that place rebirth and regenerate. And then the Green Bay Packers.
The green and gold really does bring people from around the world to Green Bay, Wisconsin. They may not have ever known about Green Bay, Wisconsin had we not had a football team. So thank goodness. In 1919, the team was organized, and this year we are in the process of celebrating 100 seasons, and people are coming from all over the country and the world to enjoy a football game, enjoy the Packers training camp, which happens every year, which is open to the public, and to really see Lambeau Field, which is a historic site and one of those places where it's on the bucket list for so many people. Sports fans and non-sports fans alike, they hear about Lambeau Field and they want to come and enjoy Green Bay because of it.
And there's another dynamic. For years, I could never figure out why the Cheeseheads were such obsessive, compulsive, ardent fans of their team. And there's a reason why, because they own the team. Tell us that story. I love it.
Well, the community owns the team. We don't have an owner, per se, not someone who has a lot of money and actually owns the franchise. The community has purchased shares of stock.
And that's because it went bankrupt, right?
Or that's right.
It was on the verge.
That's right. And so the community has supported the team from the very beginning. But because there are so many stockholders and people have grown up with the Green Bay Packers, I mean, babies are put on the list to get season tickets when they're born. It's in our blood. It's in our families. It's one of those things where it's a little bit of an oddity if you're not a football fan and living in Green Bay.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think that would work. The other dynamic on that whole same subject, it is the only nonprofit NFL in America. That's incredible.
Again, it is one of those anomalies that really makes the team special. People identify with something that's special like that. They want to be part of it. So they'll wear their green and gold proudly no matter where they are living.
In the world.
Yeah. Even in enemy territory like Chicago or Minneapolis, where our biggest rivalries, and you hear me saying our, it's because I'm very invested in having a successful football team in our community because it keeps people coming back to Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And why that's important for me is because when they're here in Green Bay and enjoying everything that there is to see and do for football, they're doing so many other things. They're going to our museums, they're dining at our restaurants, and they're really enjoying family time. And that's something that we encourage every single visit to do. On Fridays, throughout the football season, everybody in offices around the community of Green Bay, and I know that there are offices in the state of Wisconsin on Fridays, casual Friday. You're wearing your green and gold pullovers. If you're not casual, the men are wearing their Packers ties. Mm-hmm. This is something that is really just part of the fabric of Wisconsin. Yeah. You really enjoy showing your true colors.
Okay, one more on the subject of true colors. Talking about the players, Green Bay is a city of approximately 105,000, and yet I've heard stories about how ardently the players support the community.
They do. There are a lot of charities that are supported by the celebrity of the players, whether it's their families supporting it directly, or if they're lending their name or their face to a charity to bring people to an event. They do a fantastic job of being involved in community events. And I think one of the other things is that they're really part of our community. We can see them in the grocery store. We can see them at a restaurant. There is a level of respect where if you're a resident here, you're not running up to their table for an autograph. That's really not something that happens here. It's nice game or good luck on Sunday. That's really all the communication is, and they appreciate that. They don't have to be anonymous in our community, but we are a small community, so you see them more often than you would in a large city. They really do lend themselves to great community organizations, and they're out and about in our community supporting our businesses. And people come from all over the country and the world to fulfill their bucket list of visiting Lambeau Field, going to a Green Bay Packers game.
My name is Candy Connard.
Candy Connard, and here we are at Lambeau Field
in
Green Bay, Wisconsin. Kind of the mothership, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. It is. In the beginning was Lambeau Field. Actually, it wasn't called Lambeau Field, but it was in the beginning.
Yeah. Tell us about Mr. Lambeau, because he's the one that made the Green Bay Packers.
He really is. When I tell this story on tour, I always talk about my favorite player that I never met. And I never even saw him play, and I never even saw a film of him playing. But he's my favorite player because he's the guy that had the dream that he never let go to play football at this level. And there were a lot of challenges along the way, but he persevered, and he is really a good role model for us today. But also, he in Green Bay, he's the founder of the Packers, and he was just a young kid when he did it, which is absolutely fascinating to me.
Pretty much single-handedly, his vision. Yeah. And this is what, 1919?
That's why we named our restaurant the 1919. So, yep. Do you want me to tell you the story?
A little, yeah, and how it kind of collapsed and then got saved.
Okay. Curly went to high school in Green Bay. He was one of those kids that was really good at multiple sports, but his heart was football, man. That's all he wanted to do. So when he graduated from high school, he wanted to go to a university that would let freshmen make the varsity football team. And not many schools did at that time. That's why he ended up going to Notre Dame. And he did try out for the varsity football team. He did make it, and he played his freshman year for a coach named Newt Rockne. Huh, what a great opportunity. And he did he had a wonderful year. He came home at semester break, and he got sick. And he got sick with tonsillitis. Now, today, that's no big deal. But then, it was often a death sentence, or you had a really long recovery time. And Curly had a long recovery time, so long that he didn't go back to school for second semester. And he had to get a job, got a job in Green Bay as a shipping clerk for a company named Indian Packing, which became Acme Packing. Anyway, the people that worked in this organization, all they did was pack meat and fish all day. So they had a nickname for themselves. They called themselves Packers. And that's where that came from.
I love it. I love it.
And even Curly called himself a Packer. But anyway, so he had a good job. He had $250 a month, which was almost twice what most people made. He had a girlfriend. No motivation to go back to school, but he still wanted to play football, obviously. So there were some minor leagues playing in the area, in the American Professional Football League, and there were just some things starting up, and he wanted to start a team. But how does a kid 19 years old start a football team? I wouldn't have a clue even at my age. But anyway, he connected with this sports writer named George Calhoun, who knew Curly from high school. And he told George of his dream, and together they came up with a plan on how to start a team in Green Bay. they ran an ad in the newspaper. And the ad said, if you want to play football in Green Bay, be at the Press Gazette office at 7 p.m., August 11th, 1919. And 24 guys in Curly showed up, and that's how the Packers started. And then this kid, 2 years out of high school, went to his boss at Acme, and he asked for startup money for uniforms and equipment to join that league. And they said, yeah, okay, just put our name on the shirts. So have you ever seen Acme Packer shirts, the throwback shirts? Have you ever seen them? They're navy blue and gold. That's what the Packers were for a long time. Notre Dame's colors. That's where that came from.
Interesting.
Oh, I know, I know. So anyway, they played in that league and just beat everybody like crazy because they were good. But the league was not good. It folded after a year. But out of it formed a new league in Canton, Ohio, the NFL. So Curly wanted to buy a franchise for his team in that NFL. And the franchise fee was $250. So he went back to his boss. Now he's 4 years out of high school, 21 maybe, right? So he went back to his boss, and he asked his boss for the franchise fee, $250. And they said no. They gave up ownership of the Packers for $250. And Curly took his own money and bought a franchise for the Packers in the NFL. You know, the Houston Texans were the last team to come into the NFL. Do you know what their franchise fee was?
I was going to ask you.
$700 million.
Wow.
We should have bought two.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, just kidding.
Yeah, so
anyway.
Moving forward.
Yeah, moving forward, sorry. No. I'll take you on a rabbit trail every once in a while.
It's good stuff.
Anyway, so here's Curly. He's what, 21, 22, and he owns an NFL team. So that means he's the owner, the fundraiser, the general manager, the coach, and the star player. Oh, and at the end of the first year, you know what else he is? In big trouble. Big debt. Can't pay the guys, can't pay the bills, $5,000 in debt. We're going to be one and done. But four businessmen in Green Bay offered to help Curly come up with a plan. And they did, and it was genius. They basically did two things. The first thing they did is they formed a nonprofit corporation. That is why we have a board of directors, an executive committee, and bylaws that govern us. And the initial bylaws say there'll never be a single owner of the Green Bay Packers. And then that newly formed board had the first shareholder sale. They sold 1,000 shares for $5 each, bailed the team out of debt, put us on the course for success. And that is what saved us, too, that being publicly owned and that nonprofit status.
And you are a shareholder.
I am a shareholder. You are right.
And it's been in your family since 1950?
Yep, since 1950. Yep, that's right.
Well, let's jump forward only because of time.
Okay.
And come to the here and now, and let's talk about how the nonprofit model permeates everything to do with the Green Bay Packers. That's a mind-blowing story.
You like that part, huh?
Oh, yeah. It's so rare.
It is so rare. So that means that because we're nonprofit, that means that we don't have an owner. So we have a board of directors, and we have over 360,000 shareholders. I'm a shareholder, but that was a one-time donation. You have to remember that as well. But as a shareholder, I come to the board of directors meeting on an annual basis, me and 12,000 to 15,000 of my favorite closest friends. But anyway, and we come, and the meeting is in the bowl here at Lambeau Field. But prior to that, we have an opportunity to vote by proxy online for board members, yay or nay, and we can even recommend them. That is what we get as shareholders. But the Packers, because we are nonprofit, we have to generate our own income. So consequently, that is why our stadium closes 2 days a year, Christmas and Easter. We have tons of events that happen here all the time, every day of the week, in every little nook and cranny of this place. And
right here in the stadium, I understand that even how the stadium gets cleaned is fascinating.
Yes. You like that, huh?
Yeah.
So, two things. So, all of the concession stands are operated by volunteers and nonprofit organizations. So, it takes about 22 people to man one concession stand per game. And then the organization contracts with the Packers for all 10 home games and events, special events. So, they keep a percentage of what they make for their organization. So, it's a really win-win situation. They're really a big fundraiser for them. And then after the game, so the game is, let's say we're going to have a Sunday evening game, okay? So we're going to come to work in the morning, and the Packers staff, the first thing they do is they go through the stadium and they pick up all the valuables. So credit cards, driver's license, purse, whatever, all the valuables. They bring them in here and they call everybody. They try to contact every person individually. They catalog them and keep them here. As soon as school's out, 3:30, people come into the stadium and they start cleaning it out. We have
all the trash.
all the trash. They pick up the seats that you can rent and pick up all the trash. And these would be like, I'll say like the football team from Preble High School. And then the Packers will donate money to Preble for what the kids did in the stadium. So that's how we clean it out.
That is so cool.
Is that cool?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is. It's.
Yeah.
I've never encountered this anywhere.
Yeah, but everybody is involved. Now let's talk about another thing. So, you know, we get a lot of snow here. So, a game Sunday, the word goes out in Green Bay, radio, TV, texting, that we need shovelers at Lambeau Field. We've got to shovel out the stadium, and you got to be here Saturday morning. Doors are going to open at 7. So, 5 o'clock, hundreds and hundreds of people are lined up outside. They take in, about 400 to 500 people to shovel the stadium. They shovel the benches off. They shovel the snow to the aisles. They have aluminum slides that slide the snow down to the field. Front loaders pick it up and take it out in the parking lot.
This is all volunteer?
No, they get $10 cash.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they used to pay by check, but people didn't cash their checks.
Oh.
So now they have to pay cash. But anyway, so some folks will come in and shovel for an hour or two just to be in the stadium. Uh-huh. And there are still people lined up for hours afterwards.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, cool.
We have 81,441 seats in the stadium.
Right.
Every one of these seats, including special needs as a season ticket, all sold out since 1960. Okay. And we have over 130,000 people on the waiting list for tickets.
Talk about loyal fans.
Yeah, the Packers are just so much a part of our economy.
You all have a website.
Oh, yeah, Packers.com. Oh, goodness sakes.
Candy, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Mothership.
Speaking of business, for a moment I was talking about the revitalization of the downtown urban core. That's wonderful, and I love a lot of the old architecture.
Right. We have a good mix of new things that are happening in the downtown Green Bay area, and also historic buildings that have been renovated, like the Hotel Northland. We are in the Bellin Building, which has been renovated into a beautiful restaurant space. The City Deck, which is along the Fox River in downtown Green Bay, has really brought a vitalization to the area.
And there's a life at night when the business is closed, because you have people that have migrated and moved into condos and whatnot downtown.
Yeah, very busy. There's a theater downtown. There are bars and restaurants. We have yoga on the deck, live entertainment all throughout the downtown area. And people come out, whether they're very local and they're just a block away from the entertainment, or they're further out into the suburbs, they're coming to downtown Green Bay because it is lively and because it offers a ton of free entertainment, which is not common for a community our size. So we're very excited to have the activation that we do in our community.
And then you touched on briefly theater. That's one of my favorite icons of downtown. I think 1929, the Meyer, just before the Depression. Was it a Fox? I can't remember.
It was a Fox Theater, and then it turned into a triplex. Mm-hmm. They covered up a lot of the architecture that was on the inside of that theater, took it down a notch. Mm-hmm. And over the years, a group has, the Friends of the Meyer Theater, has come together and reinvigorated that property and is now a live performing arts theater. And
do they still do movies too there?
There aren't any movies there anymore. But see live shows on the stage, whether it's musical entertainment, comedy. We even have a local troupe called Let Me Be Frank Productions, and they do live musical comedy. It's one of our favorite local attractions to go to, especially on the weekend.
We're going there tonight, right?
We are.
Yeah. Yeah. And then one more, I seem to recall there is a Wurlitzer organ in there, isn't that right?
There is a Wurlitzer, and there are occasions where they will play the Wurlitzer. It's preserved in a pocket of the theater, which you wouldn't know unless you've done a tour or been there for the event.
One more of my favorites is that timeless aspect of Green Bay. And that's the amusement park. What a touching, incredible place, the old classic rides. Wooden roller coaster and 25-cent tickets. That is incredible.
I know. That's an amazing attraction. Over 1 million people a year go to Bay Beach Amusement Park. It's one of those things where our kids are growing up, and my kids, who are 11 and 17, just went the other day. It's a safe city park, but it has 23 amusement rides.
And tell us about some of the classic rides that the kids love.
Well, the Scrambler. Yeah. The Scrambler, the Tilt-A-Whirl, there's a carousel. There are two train rides that are available. So there are small children's rides, maybe like the boats and the helicopters. Mm-hmm. But then there are a couple of those thrill rides for the teenagers. And one of the favorite ones is the Zip and Pippin roller coaster, which is a wooden roller coaster. It doesn't have the loop-de-loops in it, but it does have some fun features in it. I'm not going to give it away. People come from all over the country to ride the wooden roller coaster. That's a whole dollar to ride. And many of the rides are just 25 cents. The bumper cars are there.
How do they pull that off? Is there underwriting from the city?
There isn't. It's absolutely the million-plus riders that come and are buying the tickets, and tickets don't ever expire. So I, at any given time, probably have about 50 tickets in my house, and they'll pull them out for the next year and continue on. So the more tickets people buy, it really supports Bay Beach Amusement Park.
That's so cool.
Come along and join me for a visit with Jacqueline Frank, Executive Director of the National Railroad Museum in Green Bay.
We are the only National Railroad Museum in the United States, and actually probably the only one in the upper Midwest.
How did that come about, and why here?
We started in 1956, and there was a group of businessmen, war buddies, and they wanted to start, well, basically save one single locomotive, and they got started, and then they realized that all of these steam engines, all of these passenger trains were starting to be retired, so they just started grabbing everything they could. 2 years later, in 58, they went to Congress and became the National Railroad Museum through a joint act of Congress.
Pretty visionary guys at that point in time. These guys, at that very moment in time, because it was 1955, 1956, 57, when steam engines, for example, were retired. And that was a huge game shift. Diesel electrics became the mode.
Absolutely, and I think that was their concern, is they had these wonderful memories of traveling on trains. A lot of them worked for the government during World War II working with trains, and they didn't want to see that lost, and they wanted their families and other people to continue that great heritage.
So you guys, over the years, have continued collecting.
We currently have a collection of over 70 pieces of rolling stock, as well as well over 100,000 pieces of railroading objects. And that means it's everything from paper objects, that ephemera, to your china, to uniforms, to lanterns, you name it. If it's railroad related, that's a kind of piece that we are collecting. And it continues to grow. We grow about 18 to 20% every year in our collections.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. And it isn't just national, because behind you is a very famous engine from World War II from Europe. Tell us about that.
Right. We actually have an A4 locomotive called the General Eisenhower, and that's one of our premier pieces. It's an English locomotive, and it's actually really special because it's the type of locomotive that moved General Eisenhower during World War II. Behind that, it's pulling two pieces of rolling stock, two passenger cars that Eisenhower and his staff actually slept in and met in during the war as they were following Nazi troops out of France and other areas of Europe.
Here you have a main weatherproof barn structure, and there's a very famous steam engine behind you.
One of our pieces that we have is our Big Boy locomotive. It's a Union Pacific, and it's considered by many as one of the most powerful locomotives, one of the largest locomotives. It was actually able to pull a train about a mile to a mile and a half long through the Wasatch Mountains, and was used through the 1960s.
Then next door is a pretty famous, legendary electric-powered K Keystone, that'd be Pennsylvania Railroad, right?
Yep, we have a GG1 electric locomotive that was used between New York and Washington, D.C.
Next over, other side of the building, you have two Pullman cars. And Pullmans were a legendary part of American rail transportation for 100 years. Outside, you have a lot more. Under the barn, under the roof out there.
We do. We have an open-air building right now that is full of steam engines, lots of passenger cars, everything from a mail car to a variety of other types of sleeping cars. We have a gorgeous dome diner where it actually has clear dome windows over the ceiling, so you would be able to go through mountain areas, look up and see the sky and the mountains and the rain, and absolutely beautiful. We also have a narrow gauge engine as well as some other freight pieces outside too, so it's a really neat collection.
Do you have any engines and rolling stock cars that take kids on rides?
We do. We actually have about 5 operational pieces that are used daily May through October and then for special events. It includes an open air car, so on those really hot days you get out there and pretty much everything is open. You can see everything. We have the Silver Spirit, which is a lounge and dining car, and you know, certain holidays, you might see the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus on that one, as well as treats.
So a great must-do when you come to Green Bay.
Absolutely. This is something that you're not going to find anywhere else in the United States.
All right. So further information?
NationalRRMuseum.org. My name is Jacqueline Frank.
Thank you, Jacqueline.
Thank you so much.
What a pleasure. On a different realm is your botanical garden.
The Green Bay Botanical Garden is 47 acres of lush plantings and woodlands. Their programming is fantastic. Anytime you come to Green Bay, you'll be able to see a concert, have lunch at the garden. And this particular year, they have the blooms and butterflies, and that is one great exhibit. There's monarchs, they're landing on your shoulder. But as you stroll the garden, you can see so many different plantings that have been done with great care to make sure that they are in the native species to mm-hmm. that type of planting and that location in the park. Whether it's something on a hillside, on a sunny side, there is a certain care that's been taken. So you'll see blooms all year from, let's say, April through October. And then in the winter, they turn it into a winter wonderland with the Botanical Garden of Lights. And mm-hmm. people come from all over to see 250,000 lights lit up inside the gardens. It's absolutely amazing. So any time of the year, the garden is available and open to the public.
So Charlie!
I'm John Fonta. I'm the vice president for the Green Bay Booyah. We're at Capital Credit Union Park in Green Bay, or Ashwaubenon, Wisconsin.
Booyah, that's a collegiate league team, right?
Yep, it's one of the members of the 22 Summer Collegiate Northwoods League.
Still in college.
Yep.
They're on their summer break, and a lot of them are going back to their senior year, right?
Yep. A lot of these guys have been drafted at a high school and can play here from their freshman through their junior season, and then they have a chance to get drafted again and go play in the minor leagues. So they'll play here with wood bats during the summer to get out in front of scouts and get a lot of reps, basically 72 games in 76 days throughout the summer, and when they play their 50 to 55 games in the spring, they add that up and gives the scouts a good idea of whether these guys can play at the next level.
So has anybody ever been drafted to the majors out of collegiate?
Yeah, there's over 250 former Northwoods League players that have made the big leagues. Chris Sale, Max Scherzer, to name a couple, Eric Thames for the Milwaukee Brewers, Curtis Granderson, just to name a few.
So we're here in Green Bay, and the Booyah Stadium, is this all brand new, isn't it?
All brand new. We basically took an old CTI warehouse and retrofitted the inside and built the entire seating bowl from scratch. The entire outfield wall is lined with shipping containers. The right field wall has unique dimension with a 3,000 square foot video board, 19 feet, 19 inch wall. High as a nod to the founding of the Green Bay Packers, our neighbors to the west, and kind of a really unique feel. We play baseball and soccer events here, 46 baseball and soccer combined during the summer, and then hold a lot of other special events.
Where did the money come from to build this and fund this?
Yep, the Village of Ashwaubenon was a lot of the backing. Big Top Sports Entertainment Ownership Group also was a part of that, but we are in a lease agreement with the Village of Ashwaubenon for the stadium.
And how long has the Booyah team been in existence?
We opened the stadium on June 1st, so that was the first Booyah game this year, and so had about 36 hours to move in once the stadium was complete.
And how about prior to this stadium?
So
did you guys exist?
There was a team in Green Bay, the Green Bay Bullfrogs. We did a rebrand to the Green Bay Booyah in the offseason in preparation for moving to this brand-new facility, brand-new team, brand-new name, brand-new area, and we just kind of wanted to identify ourselves as something unique.
Kind of rebirth.
Correct.
So as we're looking around, this stadium is, what, two-thirds full, man?
Yeah, it's a good night. We've got about 1,800 fans in the ballpark tonight, and you know, just a good feel.
So these are loyal, local baseball fans.
Yeah, having the Packers in town, you'd think it's a football town, but honestly, I think it's just a sports town, and we've got football, baseball, soccer has turned out really well for the Voyagers games that we have here as well, so it's a good sports town.
That's really cool. And to learn more about the Booyah Collegiate team?
Yeah, you can visit booyahbaseball.com. We're on social media as well, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the hot Facebook commodities there as well, so definitely check it out.
There was like a media room we went by, and they're doing, is that live streaming video?
Yeah, the North of Zeke live streams with 4-camera systems, HD, every baseball game that happens during the summer, so you can watch online on the North of Zeke TV webcast.
Once again, name and contact.
Yep, John Fonta, Vice President of the Green Bay Booyah.
John, thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Green Bay, Wisconsin. We're with the Booyahs, the collegiate baseball team. Your turn, a favorite we haven't talked about. Say you had friends or relatives coming to Green Bay. Where else would you take them? What would you show them?
Most of my hospitality happens around restaurants. Mm-hmm. I have some great favorite restaurants in the area, and I think that the cuisine that Green Bay can offer, whether it's fine dining or it's that favorite sandwich or burger shop, these are things that only happen in Green Bay. I don't head to the chains very much. Mm-hmm. I like to be able to show off the best cheese curds, the best beer, the best wine, and maybe the best malt.
And speaking of beer, you have some local breweries here.
We do. We have 5 different breweries located inside Green Bay, and they're all very different, from very small and micro, where they've got 1 or 2 barrels that they're running, all the way up to bigger ones like Titletown Brewing Company and Hinterland.
Hinterland's directly across the street from the stadium, right?
It is. Yeah. It is. It's one of those great entertainment spots, especially on a game day, mm-hmm. or if you're coming to town to grab a bite to eat and really, you know, pair it with a beer.
And then right out front in the winter, I love your little sledding ski hill that's right outside of the brewery.
Right at Titletown, which is a larger park just west of Lambeau Field, mm-hmm. there is a 3-story tubing hill called Aaron's Hill, and then underneath that in the winter there is ice skating and ice biking, so they flood the area. And
ice biking, I missed that one.
Well, for those who don't have maybe very good they're not great on skates, mm-hmm. you can absolutely bike around the ice skating rink. So there's a lot to see and do here all year long in Green Bay.
Hello, I'm Ashley Kellum, General Manager at Lodge Kohler.
Which is in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Correct.
And you're right across the street from?
Lambeau Stadium.
Home of?
Green Bay Packers.
Yes. Jesus, I love it. And right now we're on the 5th floor of the hotel, which is the top floor?
It is the top floor, yes.
And this is a special floor because this has a cool restaurant.
Covered in the sky.
Yeah.
You are?
I'm Gianni Darius. I'm the food and beverage manager for the hotel.
So this is a very distinctive and a truly unique restaurant in Green Bay, isn't it? There's nothing close to it.
We are one of the unique restaurants in Green Bay City, and as you can see, we have a beautiful location just across Lambeau Field. How you said before, the home of Green Bay Packers, the most famous team in the NFL.
I haven't been here on game day. I can't even imagine how crazy it would be after the game in this restaurant.
It's 80,000 people just all around, a great spirit, amazing environment everywhere. You can feel the vibe. When the game is happening right now there, you can come back to, you can sit on our terrace and you can feel the vibe from the stadium and
energy
the positive energy coming through the building.
I believe it. There's nothing like a cheesehead.
Exactly. And we have one of the benefits of being the only hotel situated right next to the stadium. So the guests that choose to stay here with us really have a divine experience being so close to the stadium itself, within walking distance to many restaurants. Of course, we have two outlets here at the property that they can enjoy themselves at. They can get the full experience being next to the Titletown District as well.
This is a four-star, four-diamond property.
It is, yes.
Is there another four-diamond in town?
There is not. So we are the only four-diamond property, and we are very proud to hold that.
So for some people, this would be a special occasion place, both the restaurant in the hotel. You have a spa, and what else?
Yes, so our spa is something that definitely is something that we're very proud of. It's unlike any other spa within the market, and we cater to the water features, and so we can provide a true full-service experience when you stay here with us, between the spa, the restaurants, and of course the hotel accommodations.
The cool thing that we haven't really talked about is this is called the Kohler, right? As in Kohler fixtures, bath fixtures, kitchen fixtures. This is owned by the Kohler family?
It is owned by the Kohler family, that's right. We are one of many properties that they own, and we're the only one here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, but that is something that definitely sets our guest room accommodations apart, are the different bath features within the room.
So I didn't have to guess who manufactured your sink fixtures and whatnot. They made it all, right?
Absolutely, throughout the entire building. So it's definitely a delightful experience when you stay here with us. In fact, it's hard to go back to your home after staying with us and having the full shower experience.
This is a first for me. It's an electronic shower. It's like super high tech, where you push buttons to change the water temperature. That's really cool.
It is. We have definitely smart features within the bathroom, so it's very high tech and leading in the industry.
A moment more about the Kohlers. They're from Wisconsin, and didn't they start an inn for Kohler Resort years and years ago?
Yes. So in the 1800s, actually, the Kohler Company was founded, and the first property that they founded was the American Club, and it was previously a house for the immigrants that were working at the Kohler factories.
Very interesting. So a long, long history in Wisconsin.
Yes.
Let's move on to food and beverage for a moment. That's your love. This is where you live.
So, yeah, I'm proud to be the person who opened the hotel and set most of the scenes here. Going back a little bit about Kohler, we do have the different divisions. This is the hospitality division, but we also have a designing division away from kitchen and baths or engines. And the designing division was the one who designed all our food and beverage spaces and every room, every place.
Wow.
So basically, here in this building is like Kohler Corporation.
So it's like an architectural division.
Yes, it's a designing division for designing, for furniture, for everything here was picked and developed by Kohler brands.
What is more? Light fixtures.
Everything.
Wow, the bar?
Yeah, the bar just now got the one of the best bars by Forbes, like in designing. In the kitchen, we have an open concept kitchen. The restaurant is divided in two areas. One is the kitchen section with an open kitchen. The other one is the tower section when we are having dinner tonight. And then also the kitchen have a unique rotisserie oven and also wood fire grill. So our steaks are the best in town.
So would that be a signature dish, something that people think of when they think of the restaurant?
We have also, we don't have just steaks, we have a little bit of everything. In my personal opinion, one of my favorite dish, because it's also unique, is the sturgeon. We're one of the only places probably in Wisconsin, Green Bay, serving sturgeon. So we have an appetizer with smoked sturgeon that we smoke in the house. And we have an entry, what is a grilled sturgeon in the wood fire. That is one of my favorites too. And all those fat melts and everything is a beautiful white meat that is unique.
Perfect barbecuing meat then.
Yeah.
It's actually one of Mr. Kohler's favorite dishes. So
oh, really?
I would say that that's probably one of our signature dishes for sure. It was requested by Mr. Kohler, and he's a huge fan of it.
So people come seeking that out. They ask for it when they come here.
Yes, absolutely.
Come back for more.
Correct.
Your food and beverage. So in the beverage world, you have a full bar here.
In the beverage standpoint, we are the only hotel in the city and one of the only in the state with a full wine list with all the wines rated over 90 points by One Spectator or Robert Parker.
All your wines?
All your wines. All our
wow,
wines.
Wow, that's incredible.
That is a standard for Kohler Corporation. Other properties just showcase wines with 90 or higher by One Spectator or Robert Parker. So it means outstanding.
How many wines do you have there?
We have around 130, 140 wines right now. We are actually always updating the wine list because some wines with the years we have been open for 2 years. So some wines get out of rated. So when we sold out, we don't buy it back. We get a new one with new characteristics and always keep the wine list updated. We do have Wisconsin beers. And we do have amazing Kohler chocolate brandy, what is produced by Kohler Corporation.
They make brandy.
Yes. So we produce our Kohler chocolate brandy and our Kohler chocolate mint brandy. The drink that you will be tasting after this interview is going to be the Kohler Chocolate Old Fashioned. It's 100% produced from our company, and we just serve it here and in the American Club properties, and it's delicious. I mean, it's a mix of our excellent chocolate brands with the twist of Wisconsin, what is very famous in Old Fashions.
What an incredible company, man. What a diverse. I'm going to throw you a curveball. Out back, there's emergency generators. And there's one that's a Kohler generator.
Yes.
That's the same company?
It is the same company, yes. So all of Titletown District is proud to use Kohler generators as well as Kohler bathroom fixtures.
That is crazy. I mean, what an amazing company. And family-owned.
All family-owned, that's correct. We also have the Kohler chocolate division. That is something new. They are very heavy into the health and wellness, and that's something that's obviously becoming more popular within the hospitality industry. So they just recently opened up a pressed juicery down in Kohler as well called Press and Chill. They have yoga studios, Bold Cycle studios. They definitely are very diverse. Yes.
And where are they headquartered?
In Kohler, Wisconsin, which is just outside of Sheboygan.
They have their own town.
They do, yes.
I love it. What a great story. There are so many pleasant surprises that you find in Wisconsin. They invented the garbage disposal in Racine, Wisconsin, and InSinkErator is still there.
Wow.
Yeah. Our Western civilization would be very different without Wisconsin.
That's correct, and without toilet paper. Green Bay is definitely the home of the paper products, so we played a big role in the toilet paper manufacturing as well.
Yeah, that's fascinating. So how long have you been here in Wisconsin?
2.5 years. I came just 3-4 months before we opened in July 2017.
Were you working for Kohler before?
No, I worked for a couple of months with Starwood Marriott in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And before that, I was in Florida Keys, in a resort in Florida Keys, Isla Morada. And that is kind of my United States background. Before that, I was managing Casa de Campo, a golf resort in Dominican Republic.
I've been there, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great place. That's where they have the Coliseum.
The Roman Coliseum is in Altos de Chabon.
That whole little village they built there is incredible. You don't have a Dominican accent.
I'm not from Dominican Republic. I'm Cuban. I'm from Cuba, from Havana, and I left Cuba in 2005.
That's really fascinating. So do you bring any Cuban drink with you?
We have the best mojito in town in this place. It's created with the original Cuban recipes. When we don't use simple syrup, we use original sugar cane, with the original Bacardi rum and everything, like fresh squeezed lime. So everything is fresh ingredients and like the Cuban way.
thoughts, final thoughts.
It is the one hotel in Green Bay that you can stay and play. I mean, there are so many different things that you can do either at the hotel or, again, just within walking distance of the property. With a girlfriend, it would be a great experience to stay here in one of our suites and book a spa package, a wellness package, where you're able to experience cocktails in Tavern in the Sky, breakfast in Leaps and Bounds, a healthy smoothie in the morning, and then finish the day off with a relaxing day at the Kohler Water Spa. I mean, there's no place in Green Bay that you can have such a full-service experience. The most popular events tend to be focused around our night market, which is a Thursday night farmers market where there's live music. And then there's also events taking place over the weekends with live bands, food trucks. And so it's just a really, really fun experience for both locals and people that choose to stay here at the property.
I love it. Front row center, huh?
Exactly.
All right, so for further information.
Further information, you can visit our website, lodgekohler.com. And my name is Ashley Kellum, General Manager.
And I am Gianni Darius. We are always here welcoming everybody from everywhere around the world.
I love it. Thanks, you guys. What a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. For further information,
greenbay.com. And my name is Brenda Kranick, Greater Green Bay Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Thanks for sharing, Brenda. I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Green Bay, Wisconsin. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
Associate producers include Rebecca Nolan, Newfoundland, Canada, Molly Blaisdell, San Francisco, and Katya Singel, San Luis Obispo, California.
Underwriting support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided in part by the Society of St. Vincent de Paul. To find a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store in your area, visit svdpusa.org. Thank you.